given us and why God gives us gifts. And even the last time we were together and we talked about verses 19 and 20, we talked about communication skills and how God has given us in these verses communication skills. And no wonder, as we've referred to so often, that James is called the Proverbs of the New Testament. It's called that because of how practical it is. Now, let me say this quickly. All the Bible is practical. All the Bible is divinely inspired by God. All the Bible was given for our instruction and for our good, so that we could take the truth of God's Word, understand it, apply it, and live it out, and thereby bring glory to God and have a life that God is pleased to bless. You never go wrong when you live your life based on what God has outlined in His Word. And so He gives us so many things here in the book of James, as we're going to learn, and we've already learned. So He transitions from communication skills, listening, speaking, being slow to respond, and He goes right into verse 21, and I want you to notice what He says. Would you look at your Bible, please? Let me say, He's about to use some words that probably in 2017 most of us don't use every day. All right, now don't panic, don't fear. I promise you, we're going to understand what these words mean. These are King James words, Old English words, but they mean something. Don't ever forget, every word in the Bible means something. All of the truths in Scripture mean something, all the words. And that's why Jesus talked about that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word is important. Now listen carefully. God wants us to understand every word of Scripture. He wants us to understand His truth. So tonight, I want you to settle in. Let's ask the Lord right now to help us understand His word and to apply it properly to our lives. Would you pray with me? Father, this is Your book. There are passages that so often we are puzzled at, and we readily admit that we don't know. Not just do we not know everything, Lord, there's so much we don't know. And so, dear Holy Spirit, Jesus said about You that You would guide us into all truth. And in sincerity and honesty and transparency tonight, we're open before You. Teach us and change us. Equip us. Give us ears to hear. Help us to be anointed now. In Jesus' name, amen. James chapter 1, verse 21. Remember, this is James, the half-brother of Jesus, writing to this congregation that had been scattered abroad outside of Palestine because of persecution, trials and trouble, financial squeeze. They had been forced to leave. And this pastor, with a pastor's heart, continuing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says in verse 21, wherefore, or because of everything that he said previously, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. I want to throw out tonight in our introduction some truths to ponder as we approach these verses, or this verse. The first thing I want to tell you by way of introduction, listen carefully, is that the Bible's impact in our lives is of utmost importance. Think about that just a moment. The Bible's impact, the impact that the Word has in every life, every Christian's life, the impact that it has is of utmost importance. I'm afraid a lot of times we, because many of us have been saved a long time, we become desensitized almost to the sheer power of the Bible. and the impact that God wants His Word to have in all of our lives. These are not just suggestions. These things that we study in Scripture are not optional. They're given to us by God, not just to cherry pick and to choose and to decide, well, I like that, but I don't like that. No, if it's in the Bible and if it's for our instruction and if God commands it, we're to do it and we're to live by it. So I want you to understand that the impact that the Bible is supposed to have in our lives is absolutely, absolutely priority. I can't overestimate that. I can't reiterate that enough, that the reason we read, the reason we study, the reason we teach and preach, the reason we meditate on the Word is not just so we'll fill our heads. God wants us to live out the truth that He teaches us in the Bible. The reason I encourage you to listen to Christian radio, the reason I encourage you to listen to the right kind of Christian music, is so we can take Scripture and it not just filter up here, but it sinks down into the very fiber of who we are as people. Because God wants to take His truth and make the difference and a difference, an eternal difference in all of our lives. So that's statement number one. Statement number two is this. Because of that, because of how God wants to use the Word in our lives, our enemy, Satan, fights us extremely hard to diminish the impact of the Word in our lives. Now, you know that's true. That's why he's fought some of you all afternoon long. That's why he's fought some of you when you got home and you're trying to get ready and trying to get supper ready and trying to get the munchkins gathered up to get them back in the SUV to pull up in the parking lot. And listen, that's why he fights all of us every single day, but especially when it comes to times and opportunities that we're exposed to the Bible. Think about this with me just a moment. Am I the only one in this room, or does Satan fight anybody else on Sunday morning? Sure he does. You know what I've heard Christian people say before? Sunday morning, if they and their spouse are going to disagree over something and be tempted to argue, it's going to be Sunday morning. If there's ever a moment or an hour when it seems like that mischief is going to get in their children, it's going to be on Sunday morning. If something goes wrong or goes haywire, it seems like a lot of times it was. Now, why is that? Is that coincidental? No, there are no coincidences. Do you, gang, not believe that Satan is the prince of the power of the air? Do you not believe that his hordes of demons are working in concert with his will and his plan to fight against us? And by the way, you understand that the greatest enemy we have is not the one on the outside, it's the one on the inside. It's our own depravity of nature. That fights against us. That's used in the hand of the enemy to hinder, listen now, the impact that the Word of God is going to have in our hearts and minds and our lives. Satan doesn't want the Word to take root, because he's afraid of that. He knows if it ever really takes root in your heart and mind, he knows the power that the Word of God has and that it will radically alter your life and mine. That's why he fights against us so bad. That's why he doesn't want you in church. It's not just because he wants you to miss the fellowship, and that's important, but that's not the main reason. He wants to get you sideways and keep you out of the house of God so that we're not exposed to the preaching and the teaching and the saturation of the Bible. Why do you think he fights so hard for you not to have your private devotions? Is that coincidental? No, it's strategic. That's why it's so difficult. That's why it is so hard. That's why that I guarantee you one of the hardest things you'll do this week is every day walk with God and read the Word. Because our enemy knows power that the Word has. And if it ever is allowed to have free reign in your heart and mind, there's no telling what God would unleash in us. So with those two things being true, because of these two realities, it is necessary that you and I as Christians do everything we can, here it is, to maximize the Word's impact in our lives. Now that's the message for tonight. That is the truth that we find here in James 1 verse 21. Go back and look at the verse with me. Wherefore lay apart filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted Word which is able to save your souls. It's one thought. It's one truth. And so I want to tell you what he's saying here. Is he saying you do everything within your power, inspired and equipped, anointed by the Holy Spirit of God, to maximize the impact of the Bible in your life. Now, when we do that, the following three things are going to be obvious about you and me. And here's the message, and I want you to hang on. Listen carefully. Number one, when I do this, this will be true. Number one, trash will be removed. Trash from where, preacher? Well, let's just see what the Scripture says. Go back and look, verse 21. Now, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Have you ever, remember when you were a child growing up and your mom or dad, or maybe if you're staying at grandma's, and if your grandma was like my grandma, she gave us chores and she told us things to do. And did your parents ever say, now, I've got to move around some stuff, and so I want you to go to the attic and help clean it, or I want you to go to this closet right over here, because I've got some, I have to store some stuff in that particular closet, but that closet is full right now, and it's all junky and cluttery, and so I want you to take the clutter and the junk out of that closet, and I want you to go throw it away. I want you to clean the closet out, because we got to make room for some other stuff. You know what the Lord is saying here in verse 21, the very first phrase? He's saying, look, this book, the Bible, God, the Father, wants the book, the Bible, to be getting into your life, your head, your heart, your daily schedule, how you live, how you think. Man, would to God that the Scripture would be so paramount in our thoughts, in our life, that it would be such a reality, that it would be instinctive, that before we ever make any decision at all, it's almost like second nature that we're going to filter our decision through what the Bible already has to say about that. You see, that's how much God wants the Scripture to become a part of us. But watch this. It'll never happen that way as long as we've got some junk in our closet. Because everybody has the same amount of room and capacity. But I'm afraid so often, and God is saying here, if the Word is ever really to get where I want it to be in your life, you got to get the junk out. What kind of junk? Well, he uses some terms here, again, that we don't throw around every day in 2017, but they mean something. He says, now, I want you to lay apart some stuff. That literally carries the idea, by the way, that word in the original is used four different times in the New Testament. It's used in Ephesians 4:22, Colossians 3:8, and there it is translated in English to put off. And it's the same concept, the same idea. There in Hebrews 12:1 and 1 Peter 2:1, it's translated laying aside, and it means the same thing. It means literally like you would take a coat off or a robe off or something that's been dirty or soiled. A stained garment. A filthy piece of cloth or a filthy rag, even to borrow Isaiah's terminology. And he says, I want you to take that coat in your life and those habits and those thoughts and those tendencies and those desires and the junk in your closet. And I want you to take all that mess and I want you to throw it away. Take it off. Lay it aside. Discard the spiritual junk out of your life. Now, you can all sit there and look at me, and I can look at you, and we can all just assume that nobody in this room has any spiritual junk in your life. But most of us do. Most of us have a lot of trash in the closet that needs to be gotten out. He says, I want you to lay that mess aside. And then he starts to get specific about what kind of mess. He says, lay aside filthiness. Filthiness literally is any kind of moral defilement or impurity. Anything that we would say, and by the way, this has as much to do with our thoughts as it does with our behavior. Immoral thoughts, immoral behavior. Things that are just not consistent with God's character. And it's things that are even counterproductive to our own spiritual health. And so it kind of blankets everything. It includes everything. Every kind of defilement. Every kind of sin. You ever walked into an area, or maybe some of you men and women who've been in the military and maybe there were some times when you had access to certain areas, and maybe other times because of this or that, maybe certain areas had a quarantine put on them. Or you couldn't get to that area. And sometimes it was because of either a gas leak or maybe something that was toxic was released into the atmosphere. And you know what God's saying here? He's saying that, listen, sin is toxic to your spiritual well-being. And way before the Word of God is going to flood and fill your heart and mind and have its true work in your life, you've got to not only get the trash out, but you need to get that toxic junk that's in your thoughts, in your heart. And I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that's toxic, sinful, that spiritually speaking, that man, it contaminates and it defiles. That's the word that he uses here. Corruption. Again, most of us wouldn't even want to admit that we have corruption in our heart and mind and life. But God said that any kind of sin, listen, any sin is corrupt. And it corrupts you. And it corrupts your thoughts. And it corrupts how we view God and how we viewed others and how we view ourselves. And he says, listen, take that mess off. Get the bucket, get the cleaning supplies, and go into that closet and straighten it up. Get it clean again. Turn the light on. Watch those bugs scatter. Get the dirt up. And man, how many of you know, after you've cleaned out a closet that's been cluttery and junky for months and years, and you get all that mess out, then you have to get the broom, you know? And man, because there's all this debris and dust and dirt down in the bottom that settles. And I wonder tonight, oh, dear friend, listen to the Spirit of God as he speaks through his word. How many of us, we've got a lot of dust and debris and junk that settled down in the bottom of the closet? No wonder it's a struggle to read and pray. No wonder it's a struggle to have your daily quiet time. No wonder it's a struggle when you come to God's house to feel like you got anything. Because you got too much trash in the closet. There's no room. God's Spirit is trying to take the Word and cram it in, but there's no place to put it. Because of the sin that we tolerate, that we allow. It's there. We just kind of don't want to cut the light on. So he uses that word filthiness. You know what's interesting? One writer said that the word filthiness actually refers to, and I'm not trying to be crude, it's a word that they use to describe wax in the ear that would impede or impair somebody's hearing. And it's interesting that in the context right before it, he talks about hearing and listening, right? And then in the context right after that, he talks about hearing, because he talks about don't just be a hearer of the word, be a doer of the word. And the Holy Spirit says, you really want to listen? You really want to get the word of God in you? You really want to retain and take in the power, the dynamite of God, which is his scripture? Get the wax out of your spiritual ear. Get the Q-tip. Get the wax out. Get the flashlight and the broom and the dustpan, and go to your closet, friend, and let's open the door and let's face some things that maybe we've allowed to stay in there for a long, long time. He says, get all that mess out. I don't know what that is for you. You don't know what that is in my life. But I guarantee you, if you're thinking tonight, and if you're listening, and you're really wanting to be anointed by God to do this, the Holy Spirit of God is going to show you something and tell you something and put the spotlight on some area of your closet in your heart and life that needs to be cleaned up. So he mentions the word filthiness, and then he mentions the word superfluity. I know what that means. Well, I'm glad you do. No, you say, what does it mean? It means surplus or overflow of wickedness, excess and residue of sin. It's that dust and that dirt we talked about that's just gathered there at the bottom. An excess of sin. The results of it, the residue of sin. And then he mentions naughtiness, superfluity of naughtiness. Naughtiness just means badness or depravity. You see, gang, again, it's not just what's on the outside that defiles us. It's our own depravity, our own nature. That part of us that's not redeemed yet, that we battle with every single day. And he's saying, hey, gang, get it right, get it clean. Because you're never going to be able to put the Word of God where He wants you to put it as long as your closet's full of sinful trash. This involves the removal of what is contrary to the nature of God. If it's against God, if it's inconsistent with God's character and God's nature, then it falls in this category. And then he goes on to say the removal of what is counterproductive to my spiritual health. I want you to hear me clear tonight. Please listen. Sin is not helpful to you in your spiritual life. Can we agree on that? It is hurtful. It's harmful. It's your greatest thing that you face, your greatest threat to the peace of God in your life and the blessings of God in your life. It's not somebody else. It's sin. That's your greatest threat. And he says, get all that mess out. If the Word of God is really going to be powerful in your life, the trash has to be removed. Question. What needs to be removed from your life? Seriously. What needs to be removed tonight from your life? What sinful habit, practice, or attitude, a relationship or pattern of thinking needs to be cast off? The Lord will tell you. He'll show you. I want to ask you something. Are you willing to do that, though? Are you willing to be the man of God, the woman of God, the Christian that God wants you to be, to have enough character and to face that and to say, Lord, before the God of heaven, I must have your power. I can't remove this on my own, but Lord, I'm going to address it and face up to it and own up to it. But I got to have your help. But I do want this spiritual trash to get removed from my life. It's called repentance. And you know, friend, it's not just sinners who repent. It's Christians that need to repent every single day before the Lord. Question, when's the last time you repented? When's the last time I did? So if I'm going to maximize the impact of Scripture in my life, one way I can tell is because the trash is going to be removed. But secondly, hear me now. Not only will the trash be removed, but the truth will be received. Notice what he says. After he says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, he says, and now, when the trash is out, then you've made room, watch this, to receive with meekness the engrafted word. Receive with meekness. This phrase refers to the receiving of the truth with a teachable spirit. Now, gang, that's key. No wonder he says, with meekness, not arrogance, not haughtiness, but with meekness, with humility. Receive the truth. Receive it with meekness. This phrase refers to the receiving of truth with a teachable spirit. That's the opposite of contentiousness. That's the opposite of being argumentative. That's the opposite of trying to justify this or justify that. That's the opposite of being dismissive with the Lord or having a defensive spirit. When the Holy Spirit brings the truth, brings to light things that are true about us. Boy, aren't we very good and effective at almost kind of like Adam and Eve, kind of justifying before God why we did something? And boy, we're good at playing the blame game, right? That's the opposite of this. He says, no. When the word comes at you, you receive it with a teachable spirit. In other words, I've seen Preacher Patrick do this. Remember, I've seen him talk about, you take the Bible and you put it like an umbrella over your head and you just come up under it. And Lord, whatever you say about me, you're right. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to come up under your authority. The authority of this book. Did you come up under it today? Hey, you know what we heard Sunday? You know what you heard in Sunday school? You heard the Bible talk. You know what you heard Sunday morning right here? You heard the Bible preached. You know what you hear on Sunday night and Wednesday night? You hear the Word of God preached. When's the last time you conscientiously, when's the last time I deliberately said, Lord, whatever you say today, I'm going to come up under it. Lord, make me teachable. Because God, when your truth starts to cut and it starts to sting and it starts to lay things bare in my life and it starts to reveal to me what I am and who I am and where I struggle, Lord, I really do want to come up under your truth. That's what he's talking about here. Not a defensiveness. It's the old rake versus the shovel illustration. You know, too often we come to church with a shovel. The Word of God goes out. In our devotion time, do you have a shovel in your hand or do you have a rake? We're reading, we're hearing, we're meditating, we're studying, we're listening, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, boom, and he lowers something down on you. And you have a choice, and so do I, at that moment. I can either grab my rake and say, Lord, I needed that. Boy, I got to get that. Or I can take that shovel, and I can pick it up and throw it over on somebody else. I tell you what, I hope my wife's listening. I hope my boys are listening. I hope Sister So-and-So's listening. She sure does need that. get the rake. It'd be a good day of my life when I approach the Word of God and I leave my shovel at home. Get your rake. Because God wants to use it to speak to you. You see, friend, we either take a I've already heard this approach, or I already know this, or I don't need this. How many times have you said that? Or you're too smart to say it out loud. I know that. Because somebody might actually think you're unspiritual. Because, by the way, we are when we say that. It's that kind of approach. I don't need this. This wasn't for me. I've already heard this. I already know that. Or it's the approach that we say, God, I want you, Lord, to speak this truth into my life. Lord, I need to hear from you. God, I want you to speak to me. I want you to have an impact in my life through your word. And I bring myself up under your teaching and your truth, your eternal, inspired, perfect truth. And I bring myself up under it. I might have heard that 100 times, but I needed 101. Yeah, look, Lord, I know what the preacher's about to say. I've heard him say it 1,000 times, but I need to hear it 1,001. That's what it means to receive with meekness, teachableness, the word. So how are you doing that tonight? Are you? Or has it already gone and hit the back wall? You see, Acts 17:11 says that the Berean Christians, listen to this, Acts 17:11, they received the word, here it is, with all readiness of mind. Did you walk in ready? It literally means that they received it without prejudice. In other words, they didn't already have their mind made up when they got to the house of God and they were taught the word. They already didn't have a predisposition on what the text was saying or what they thought it was saying. But they took the word of God at face value. That's how God wants us to approach his word. That's how tomorrow morning, that's how he wants me to read his word. Whenever you read scripture tomorrow, that's how he wants you to read it. Not with preconceived notions as to what you think it's going to say or what you think it means or what you think it says. But we come to the word of God fresh. We come broken. We come open and we say, Lord, whatever it says, it's the truth. And I take it in and I'm ready to receive it. Somebody say amen about that. That's what we need. I'm afraid the Word of God has become so stale to us. And this book is not the problem. It's all about our attitude. Because I'm afraid in so many churches and congregations, we got a bunch of spiritual know-it-alls. Why don't you join me tonight and just say, Lord, I not only don't know it all, I know very little. And I want you to teach me. Not me. The Holy Spirit. Through his word. I heard recently about a pastor that stood up and told his congregation, he rebuked people and said, I'm the teacher here. You don't need to, listen, if God has anything he wants you to know, he's going to tell you through me. Now, wait a minute. Now, gang, that scares me. That's cultish. I don't have the right to stand up and tell you that if God wants to say anything to you, he's going to tell you through me. No. If God has anything to say to you, he's already told you. Through this right here. Right there. I don't speak ex cathedra. I'm sorry, that's Catholicism. This is what we need. I told you this Sunday morning, you can take 99 cents and put it with my opinion and get a cup of coffee down at McDonald's. And you can do that with every man, woman who's ever walked the face of this earth, because at their best, all they're doing is giving you their opinion. This is not opinion. This is God's truth. And I just chased that rabbit until it died. So I'm going to get back on my notes right here. You know what's interesting with this Acts 17:11, what it actually means? It literally means where it says they received with readiness. Listen to this. It literally means to rush forward. Watch this. Or to lean forward. You see the word picture? It's like sitting on the end of your pew, on the edge. I can't wait to hear it. God, I can't wait to read and open and have you teach me. It's like getting as close as you can. Wow. Wonder what that would be like in church. Get as close. I just can't wait. I got to. Oh, man, I'm so eager to hear the word. That's what it means. I'm not making this up. That's what that word means. Oh, gang, would to God that we'd lean in to hear the truth. He calls it the engrafted. It's a word that means implanted, like the planting of a seed into the ground. It's the same analogy in Matthew 13, verse 8 and 23, where it talks about that the good seed was planted in the ground, in the good soil. Listen, a teachable spirit makes the soil of our heart able to receive and benefit from the implanted word. But if I'm not teachable, it can be the greatest portion of Scripture ever, and it is all awesome. But if I'm not teachable, then I'm not going to get what God has for me. So here's the question. What is your response when God shows you something He wants you to change? When's the last time that happened to you? Seriously. When's the last time in your quiet time, in your own pondering, in your Sunday school lesson, or in a church service, or maybe you're listening to Christian radio, or you're reading a devotional book, and you read a verse of Scripture, and God took His truth somehow, some way, or maybe somebody sent it to you, emailed it to you, wrote it in a letter, or spoke it directly to you, and God's truth, when's the last time God's truth pointed something out to you that God wanted you to change? He says, if you're going to maximize the impact of Scripture in your life, you got to get the trash out. You got to get the truth in. And then thirdly, this is going to be true. Transformation will be revealed. Because notice how he closes the verse out. He says, get the trash out, get the word in, and the word, the engrafted word, is able to save your souls. Now listen carefully. You say, preacher, He's writing to save people. What's he talking about? Is he talking about getting saved again? No. He is obviously saying that it is the power of the Word of God that transforms a person's life. You see, the result of all this, when I get the trash out of my life and I get the Word in and the truth in, God says when the truth has taken root in your heart, that's when life change begins to take place. The result is going to be personal life change. By the way, you don't have to guilt trip somebody into changing. God's Word. Are y'all there? God's Word will do its job. If the Word of God gets in them. You let somebody start reading Scripture. I told somebody today, I picked up the Bible and I said I was saved. God had already called me to preach. But when I was 17 years old, my spiritual life went into overdrive because for the first time in my life, nearly every night, I'd get on my knees by my bed. You don't have to get on your knees. You don't have to do it by your bed. But I'd get on my knees by my bed, get my Bible and get my pen. God began to change me because I started getting the Bible in Christian Powell. I promise you, friend, you start doing that, you will never, ever, ever be the same. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith, belief and reliance and trust in God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Listen to this. Exposure to the Word produces genuine faith, which produces genuine life change. He says in Jeremiah 23:29, is not my Word like a fire? It burns, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. When's the last time the Word of God lit you up? When's the last time the hammer came down and it shook you up? Then, hey, remember what he says in Hebrews 4:12? The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What's he saying? He's saying, gang, the Word is alive. The Word makes us alive. The Word is active. The Word discerns. The Word splits open. The Word lays bare. The Word divides. The Word reveals. The Word cuts deep. The Word pokes. The Word jabs. And the Word sometimes, thank God, makes us feel uncomfortable. And if it's not doing that ever for you, then something's the matter. Because that's what it's supposed to do. Does it do that to you? It does that to me all the time. Somebody said it's the only book that while you're reading it, it's reading you. Can you point to an area, here's a question, can you point to an area in your life in which you're seeing greater victory because you are personally submitting to the Word? What has changed? What is changing about you because of the work of God's Word in you? What is God wanting to change in you currently, right now, because of His Word? Go to one place and we're going to pray. Psalm 139. Would you turn there as we close tonight? The most longed for words in any sermon by the people. Now as we close. All right. Psalm 139, look at what the Scripture says. Look at verse 23, Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. If you're still with me, say amen. Here's what he says. Here's the appropriate prayer to pray when we approach the Word. Here it is. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. So tonight, as we close, would you pray and say, Lord, search me. Try me. And from your Word, see if there's any wicked way in me. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed across this room. You've been very patient. Thank you. I wouldn't expect anything other than that. Now, gang, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. You say, preacher.